This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
If you've accumulated good amount of money by working really hard, then what would you do with it? Would you buy an expensive gadget or maybe an expensive dress, or would you save or invest it? My guess? Most people in their 20s would love to splurge it, would love to buy an expensive gadget or dress, right? So that's my understanding of how people in their early 20s operate. And today I have with me Abhishek Kumar. He is a registered investment advisor and founder of Sahaj Money.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Welcome, Abhishek.
Thanks, Aprajita and team, for having me here. Glad to be here and looking forward to having an interesting discussion on how money works for youngsters.
True. So what is your experience of speaking to people in their early 20s or late 20s? What do they know about money?
So it's a mixed bag. There are people who approach us who are aware where they are missing in their life and they are concerned about their future. So there are a set of people who approach for this reason. There are a set of people who already got into a debt trap and they want to come out of that. So splurging on BNPL, like buy now, pay later, or credit card kind of, expenses pile on. And then they find it difficult to manage even their day-to-day expenses. So it's a mixed bag for us.
Okay.
And the way we go about it is addressing one thing at a time.
Right. So share about maybe any anecdote of your story or a client story where someone was stuck really deep in debt. And their background, were they single or married or what sort of profile?
Sure.
Any client story that would give a message to people listening this podcast?
Yeah, so we had a young client. She was into her early 20s. What happened is, but of course, youngsters have their needs of splurging on latest gadget and all. And also, it's a kind of a race where you're trying to...
Right, fear of missing out.
Yeah, so it's a peer pressure or family pressure, whatever you call it. You want to prove that you've arrived in the world.
Okay.
Many times that leads to taking on too much of debt. And that is what happened in this case, the client that approached us. The way it was that at a point of time, she had 5 different cards and she was running behind on payments for all of them. Then started looking for BNPL, which is also a kind of a credit card. You have to make the payment, and all she was able to do was make the minimum payment, and her interest on the outstanding amount which kept on piling. What we did with her is to first understand which is the most expensive interest that she was paying. So we tried to ask help from her parents or family member to take some temporary loan so that she can pay off this early as possible. Once she did that, then she started giving back the money to her parents, and then she came out of it. That gave her some standing and gave the confidence of coming out of these kind of situation in future as well.
And now what has she started her investment journey out of debt trap and moving towards investments?
Not immediately, because that was our first ask even before asking someone to invest, is to build an emergency corpus so they can tide over the situation going forward in future as well. Yeah. So what happens is if you don't have an emergency corpus and you're out of job for a while, that's a big risk, right? You have to go back to your family, ask for money, and all that happens, or you're running behind on credit card payment. If you run a risk of getting into that trouble again.
Correct.
So keeping an emergency corpus, at least 6 to 12 months of running expenses, gives a space where you don't have to immediately start selling or liquidating your investment in future. So that is what we suggest. So she's on a path to build her emergency fund now.
Okay.
And soon she will start on the path of investment in on a monthly basis as well.
Right. And I've observed that people in their 20s, they feel that they have all the time in the world. many, many years ahead of them when they retire. And it's only when people get married or have children, then only they realize the importance of investments. But if you realize it early on in your life, when you are in early 20s, maybe right after your college education, when you start your professional life, then if you get financially disciplined, it helps in future.
Indeed, you're spot on in that regard. So just to give a comparison, if someone is, let's say, 25 year old, if they start a 6,000 SIP every month, and let's say for argument that the return on that investment on the CAGR basis is 12%.
Right.
If that happens over, and the person is going to retire by the age of 60, so that is 35 years of compounding. One could reach a corpus of 4 crore by just investing 6,000 for the next 35 odd years. But when you do that at age of 40 and plan to retire at 60, you just have 20 years of investment life left, right? Then you have to start with a much higher amount, which would be, in my calculation, would be around 40 odd K. So you can compare. If you start early, you just reach that target amount of 4 crore by the age of 60 by just investing 6,000 every month. Whereas if you do it at the age of 40, you need 40,000 rupees every month for the next, let's say, 20 odd years.
So that's where power of compounding works. And not many, we read about it in schools, but how does it actually apply in your life? Not really, not many people. In schools, even teachers don't tell us about that.
Yeah, they try to teach, but it becomes too complicated for people to understand the concept.
It's just a formula that they know. The other day, I was discussing it with some school children and they told me the formula, but not how to apply it. So I tried explaining it to them. I hope that they understood.
Yeah, so the simple way to explain, I feel that that's how people would or youngster would understand it better, is the concept is that the interest also earns interest. That is how you
interest
can explain it. So apart from the money that you originally invested, the interest also earns interest, and that way the money grows faster. It's not just a simple interest where only the original investment earns interest. So that is how, probably if they can explain in simpler terms, people will grasp it better.
Right. And as registered investment advisors, you obviously would talk about goal-based investing.
Indeed.
You suggest that. Now, when for school children or for college students who are just starting out, what sort of goals should they have? Because they don't have family and not really any responsibility on them. Then what sort of goals should they plan?
I would suggest just start investing to build a discipline at that stage. Spoke about building an emergency corpus. So having started with a new job, money flowing in, there's always new expenses to address. But building an emergency corpus first, at least that builds some kind of discipline. And then they can build on that and build for future needs. So that's right. So let's say even for youngsters, buying gadget could be a goal, right? Buying an expensive gadget down the line because there is going to be a new launch of a mobile phone could be a goal. So it's better that they start saving early on, so that they avoid taking this, buying this gadget on credit. So things could be as simple as that. It need not have to be that everyone has to plan for a very big goal. Goals could be things that they want to do it on a one-time basis, and it's going to be a big ticket expense for them at that point of time. So buying gadget or buying car early on in their life could be a goal, and they can start from there itself.
And let's also address this BNPL, buy now, pay later thing, and zero cost EMI. And how do people get into debt trap, and understanding that psyche and then helping them out, that why it's a danger?
Yeah, so it's all come to behavioral economics, right? If you become habitual to something, you continue doing it even, let's say, it is not beneficial for you. So let's, I'm not comparing apples to apples, but if you, let's say, start smoking early on in your college life, those people continue to do that over a period of time. So that's how habit builds, right? Sometimes these habits build as a kind of a convenience. So something that you can get at an instant using by just few clicks on your mobile phone. That's how BNPL builds habit, that you can buy things on credit and there will be a set date. If you pay by that date, you don't have to pay any, let's say, interest on that. But what if you start feeling behind on that? And what these BNPL companies do is they keep on increasing the credit limit. So you start with 10,000 odd K, which is to say that, okay, you keep on paying your regular electricity bill, gas bill and all that. But once you start getting higher credit, then there is a tendency of buying expensive stuff. And probably then it leads to a situation where you buy things, expensive things on credit and don't have money to pay back within that time limit. So that's how these, let's say, building habits comes to harm people in their financial journey.
Right. And among your clients, usually, do you have young clients or mostly mid-age people or older people?
So the kind of offering we have, we offer a fixed fee planning. So in that sense, we get clients from all strata of the, let's say, income base. So we have clients who are young or fresh out of the college, starting with their job. We have clients who are in middle age. We have clients who are about to retire or already retired. So because we don't charge fee based on their investment amount or the net worth that they have, we get clients from all across, all walks of life.
Yeah, because I want to emphasize that why it's important for youngsters also to have a financial advisor. Because usually what happens when they start earning and they get their salary, then random people will tell them to buy maybe any investment-linked insurance plan. And these kind of plans do not get good returns. And then they would not understand, and maybe stock market or all we talking about FNOs, cryptos, lot of things are going on. So they don't get access to correct financial advice. And I happened to speak to a 24-year-old lady just a couple of weeks ago. And somehow she watched an interesting video on YouTube by a registered investment advisor. So she was lucky that she could land on that video and she could understand the concept of registered investment as advisors and fixed fee based planning, etc. And she approached one, and now her life is sorted. The great beginning she has had now with her first year of her working life, and she has an advisor. So this is the message that I want more and more people to receive, that you must have a financial advisor for you. It doesn't cost much. I believe, I think that lady used to pay just 10 or 12,000 rupees a year for financial planning. And I'm sure this is the amount for you also. So how to reach out to many more people to get this message across?
So it's a chicken and egg problem that we are having right now due to a lot of mis-selling. Even in financial advisory space, SEBI came across a lot of complaints where people got registered as RIA and they were mis-selling, let's say, securities, stock tips and all. So SEBI came really hard on that and imposed lots of restriction, what you can do and what you can't do. Like, there is an advertisement code. For every advertisement, I as an RIA float, I have to take prior permission from there's an entity. So that is a bureaucratic process. But I understand there's a problem in the market where, I mean, if SEBI doesn't put a control, that could lead to more mis-selling in the market. So right now it's that. But I think over a period of time with a great initiative like you are doing right now by promoting fixed fee or financial planning, advisory, I think it will reach out to more set of people and they will understand about this scheme of things and they will approach SEBI registered RIA for their investment advice and get an honest advice for that. Because SEBI has made it really clear that RIA has to be fiduciary, which is to say that they have to keep their client interest at the top of the thing and their interest takes the back seat, which is that of the RIA. So that is a good, I mean, by in theory, it is a very good practice and all the restrictions are built around that. So in a sense, it is restrictive, but I feel that over a period of time, once this stabilizes and the word gets floated around, SEBI will remove some of this restriction going forward.
Right. And I have also seen people saying that I don't have money, I don't have savings and I don't need an advisor. So that is also what people have, that mindset. I don't have money, I don't need an advisor, but it is wrong. So how an advisor adds value in one's financial life? Just talk about that.
Sure. It's not just about, I mean, putting across investment, because we as an RIA, we don't get any commission out of it. So there's no incentive for anyone to invest with us or through us. So that is entirely fiduciary, as I just explained some time back. With regard to how we explain financial planning is, it's like you say that whether you want to be fit or not. Everybody would say that I want to be fit. Nobody would say that, no, I don't want to be fit. So same thing goes with investment. I mean, what is the right age of investing? I mean, I would say today itself, right? So there is no right age or right time to do it. It has to be a continuous process. You don't be fit one day and not fit another day and then become fitter after 30 days, right? It's an ongoing process. So that's the way we should look at it. We bring value to the table. If you can understand this concept, that value is nothing but benefit minus cost. So there is a fee that you pay to us, which is a cost, which is a given. The benefit that you derive out of it is whether you got the right advice so that it leads to a situation where you miss, where you avoid making mistakes. So there is a famous saying, all I want to know is where I'm going to die so that I don't go there. So things like not buying a traditional life insurance policy with a higher premium and lower payout going forward. These are the kind of mistakes a financial advisor can help you avoid. Or let's say buying insurance early on in their life, because life could be very uncertain. So that even if they are quite young, but they have dependents and they would like to take care of them going forward. So buying insurance also is a benefit which they can derive by discussing with a financial advisor. So these are the few ways we help.
So full-fledged financial planning. So any money query they have a person to discuss it with.
Indeed, that's how this whole model is built around. It's not just going for insurance advice or, let's say, investment advice. It's a mixed bag. To an extent, it also involves tax planning, which helps you in saving more
from
the income that you're generating. So that is where comprehensive financial planning helps, because it addresses different facets of your life.
Correct. And lastly, you brought up insurance. So people in their 20s, what sort of insurance should they have? Should they buy term, health, how? And people in their early 20s, they could very well be part of their parents' insurance. So that transition, when do they have to buy their own policy?
You're very right. So let's say someone is part of their parents' insurance policy as a part of the family floater. The by and large in India, the health insurance policy, the way it works is, by the time one is 25 years of old, they are considered as independent. So they can move out of the policy and they can carry all the benefit which has accrued, let's say pre-existing illness, waiting period and all. They don't have to start as a zero basis from that. So they can carry forward their parents' policy and move out of it and then build up a policy for themselves or, let's say, their future dependents going forward. So that's one of the way of doing it. Also, in terms of insurance, it's not just the base policy which is going to be helpful. One should also look at augmenting it so that they are future ready in terms of inflation, because inflation will always reduce the value of the cover, right, going forward. So 5 lakh cover now might be sufficient for the parent. But let's say when this person who is 25 odd years old, he or she becomes, let's say, 60 years old, the value of money will go down. So they need to augment their cover. So by doing quick things like buying a super top-up policy with the base cover as a deductible, they can enhance their cover. Things like with regard to life insurance, they might have dependent parent who are to an extent dependent on kids' income for their sustenance. So if that is the case, then that makes a prime point for buying insurance early on to cover a situation where the parents can continue to have a decent lifestyle in absence of the person, the kid going forward. So that is one of the ways. If that is not the concern, then probably they can skip term insurance for a while. But with major events in life, let's say they get married, they will have more dependents coming forward. Or they buy a major liability, like let's say buying a house on loan. So that's a liability they have to cover. So making or buying insurance at that stage is also beneficial. And at various major stages of their life, they should keep on increasing the cover, provided they are fit enough. So the risk of not buying early is that, what if you have a chronic illness going forward? Then you would not be able to buy insurance at all. So start early. Starting early also helps here as well.
Lastly, just a word, why people listening to this podcast should come to SEBI Registered Investment Advisors?
That would be so promoting myself.
Not yourself, but in general, SEBI Registered.
To remain fit, you have an option of going to unregistered medical practitioner, but you run the risk of not getting the right, health advice, right? Same kind of risk you tend to come across when you don't go with a registered practitioner, because they are liable to or they are responsible for all the codes that SEBI has built. So that is where it's a kind of validation of those ideas that you can go to a registered investment advisor, which can be held accountable for what kind of advice they are doling out. Asking random people for advice could work, but if it doesn't work, it could come to hurt you really,
really heavy.
Really, really bad.
So one-stop shop for all your financial troubles.
That's kind of, yeah. So someone is looking for comprehensive financial planning, then they should look at SEBI Registered Investment Advisor.
Correct.
For that kind of fiduciary advice.
Right. Thank you so much, Abhishek.
Pleasure meeting you and your team, and thanks for having us over here.
Pleasure having you.
I hope you liked the episode today. I am available on X by my handle, Apri_Sharma. And you can also look for my name on LinkedIn, which is Aparajita Sharma, and you'll be able to find my profile. For more such interesting podcasts, keep tuning into stsmartcast.com. Thank you.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.